The next LOS is to describe the qualities of effective central banks. For a central bank to succeed in its inflation-targeting policies, it should have three essential qualities. The first of these qualities is independence. For a central bank to be effective in achieving its goals, it should be free from political interference. Reducing the money supply to reduce inflation can also be expected to decrease economic growth and employment. The political party in power has an incentive to boost economic activity and reduce unemployment prior to elections. For this reason, politicians may interfere with the central bank's activities, compromising its ability to manage inflation. Independence should be thought of in relative terms as degrees of independence, rather than absolute terms. Even in the case of relatively independent central banks, the heads of the banks may be appointed by politicians. Independence can be evaluated based on both operational independence and target independence. Operational independence means that the central bank is allowed to independently determine the policy rate. Target independence means the central bank also defines how inflation is computed, sets the target inflation level, and determines the horizon over which the target is to be achieved. The European Central Bank has both target and operational independence, while most other central banks have only operational independence. The second quality is credibility. To be effective, central banks should follow through on their stated intentions. If a government with large debts instead of a central bank set an inflation target, the target would not be credible because the government has an incentive to allow inflation to exceed the target level. On the other hand, a credible central bank's targets can become self-fulfilling prophecies. If the market believes that a central bank is serious about achieving a target inflation rate of 3%, wages and other nominal contracts will be based on 3% inflation, and actual inflation will then be close to that level. The third quality a central bank should have is transparency. Transparency on the part of central banks aids their credibility. Transparency means central banks periodically disclose the state of the economic environment by issuing inflation reports. Transparent central banks periodically report their views on the economic indicators and other factors they consider in their interest rate setting policy. When a central bank makes clear the economic indicators that it uses in establishing monetary policy and how they will be used, it not only gains credibility, but makes policy changes easier to anticipate and implement. The next LOS requires that we explain the relationships between monetary policy and economic growth, inflation, interest, and exchange rates. If money neutrality holds, changes in monetary policy and the policy rate will have no effect on real output. In the short run, however, changes in monetary policy can affect real economic growth as well as interest rates, inflation, and foreign exchange rates. The effects of a change to a more expansionary monetary policy may include any or all of the following. The central bank buys securities, which increases bank reserves. The interbank lending rate decreases as banks are more willing to lend each other reserves. Other short-term rates decrease as the increase in the supply of loanable funds decreases the equilibrium rate for loans. Longer-term interest rates also decrease. The decrease in real interest rates causes the currency to depreciate in the foreign exchange market. The decrease in long-term interest rates increases business investment in plant and equipment. Lower interest rates causes consumers to increase their purchases of houses, autos, and durable goods. Depreciation of the currency increases foreign demand for domestic goods. These increases in consumption, investment, and net exports all increase aggregate demand. The increase in aggregate demand increases inflation, employment, and real GDP. The transmission mechanism for a decrease in interbank lending rates affects four things simultaneously. Market rates decrease due to banks adjusting their lending rates for the short and long term. Asset prices increase because lower discount rates are used for computing present values. Firms and individuals raise their expectations for economic growth and profitability. They may also expect the central bank to follow up with further interest rate decreases. And the domestic currency depreciates due to an outflow of foreign money as real interest rates decline. Together, these four factors increase domestic demand as people consume more because they have less incentive to save given lower interest rates, and increase net external demand because depreciation of the domestic currency makes exports less expensive to foreigners and imports more expensive in the domestic economy. The increase in overall demand and import prices tends to increase aggregate demand and domestic inflation. Next, we come to an LOS asking us to contrast the use of inflation, interest rate, and exchange rate targeting by central banks. Central banks have used various economic variables and indicators over the years to make monetary policy decisions. In the past, some have used interest rate targeting, increasing the money supply when specific interest rates rose above the target band and decreasing the money supply, or the rate of money supply growth, when rates fell below the target band. Currently, inflation targeting is the most widely used tool for making monetary policy decisions, and is in fact the method required by law in some countries. Central banks that currently use inflation targeting include the UK, Brazil, Canada, Australia, Mexico, and the European Central Bank. The most common inflation rate target is 2%, with a permitted deviation of plus or minus 1%, so the target band is 1% to 3%. The reason the inflation target is not zero is that variations around that rate would allow for deflation, which is considered disruptive to the smooth functioning of an economy. Central banks are not necessarily targeting current inflation, which is the result of prior policy and events, but inflation in the range of 2 years in the future. Some countries, especially developing countries, use exchange rate targeting. That is, they target a foreign exchange rate between their currency and another, often the U.S. dollar, rather than targeting inflation. As an example, consider a country that has targeted an exchange rate for its currency versus the U.S. dollar. If the foreign exchange value of the domestic currency falls relative to the U.S. dollar, the monetary authority must use foreign reserves to purchase their domestic currency, which will reduce money supply growth and increase interest rates in order to reach the target exchange rate. Conversely, an increase in the foreign exchange value of the domestic currency above the target rate will require sale of the domestic currency in currency markets to reduce its value, increasing the domestic money supply and decreasing interest rates to move towards the target exchange rate. One result of exchange rate targeting may be greater volatility of the money supply, because domestic monetary policy must adapt to the necessity of maintaining a stable foreign exchange rate. Over the short term, the targeting country can purchase or sell its currency in the foreign exchange markets to influence the exchange rate. There are limits, however, on how much influence currency purchases or sales can have on exchange rates over time. For example, a country may run out of foreign reserves with which to purchase its currency when the exchange value of its currency is still below the target exchange rate. The net effect of exchange rate targeting is that the targeting country will have the same inflation rate as the targeted currency, and the target country will need to follow monetary policy and accept interest rates that are consistent with this goal, regardless of domestic economic circumstances. The next LOS is to determine whether a monetary policy is expansionary or contractionary. An economy's long-term sustainable real growth rate is called the real trend rate, or simply the trend rate. The trend rate is not directly observable and must be estimated. The trend rate also changes over time as structural conditions of the economy change. For example, after a prolonged period of heavy debt use, consumers may increase savings and reduce consumption in order to reduce their levels of debt. This structural shift in the economy would reduce the trend growth rate. The neutral interest rate of an economy is the growth rate of the money supply that neither increases nor decreases the economic growth rate. We can state that the neutral interest rate equals the real trend rate of economic growth plus the inflation target. When the policy rate is above the neutral rate, the monetary policy is said to be contractionary, and when the policy rate is below the neutral rate, the monetary policy is said to be expansionary. In general, contractionary policy is associated with a decrease in the growth rate of money supply, while expansionary policy increases its growth rate. Monetary policy is often adjusted to reflect the source of inflation. For example, if inflation is above target due to higher aggregate demand, then contractionary monetary policy may be an appropriate response to reduce inflation. Suppose, however, that inflation is higher due to supply shocks such as higher food or energy prices, and the economy is already operating below full employment. In such a situation, a contractionary monetary policy may make a bad situation worse.